Hey everyone, welcome back. A bunch of you requested a deep dive on this idea of technology kind of running ahead of our ability to adapt, you know, and well, this research paper, Bending the Blue Curve, really digs into that.
It really does.
We're not just talking about like struggling to figure out the latest smartphone or anything.
Right.
This is about like the bigger picture, the forces that are shaping the future.
Right.
And, I don't know, it gets kind of intense. Like, is there a point where change happens too fast for society? What would that even look like?
Well, and what's so fascinating about this paper is it brings up this idea of the techno-socio gap. Like, it's a measurable thing, not just a feeling we have.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The author actually created this chart, and it maps out the impact of both technological developments, but also societal developments over, get this, 12,000 years.
12,000? Okay, so we're talking like cave paintings to ChatGPT all on one graph.
Exactly. And you can actually see for the first time, we can actually visualize this accelerating gap. Like, right. Take the printing press. Huge deal, right? 1440 AD.
Right. Huge.
Scored a 43 on this impact scale the author created.
Yeah.
But then centuries later, the shift towards democracy, much, much lower score. It's almost like we're better at inventing stuff than we are at actually adapting to the changes those inventions create, you know?
That is, wow, kind of a sobering thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where does this chart put us now? With the internet, with AI, all of that?
Yeah, so the World Wide Web, 1989, it's practically a vertical line on the chart. The impact is shooting upwards so fast. But then our ability to manage all the consequences of that, lagging way, way behind.
Okay, so that's where this whole bending the curve idea comes in. Like,
yeah.
We need to make our ability to adapt catch up to how fast things are changing.
That's exactly it. And the paper doesn't sugarcoat the challenges. It actually identifies 8 existential risks, things that could really go wrong. Climate change is one, of course.
Right. Can't avoid that one these days. What are some of the other ones?
2 of the most pressing, according to this paper, are artificial intelligence and biotechnology.
Oh, yeah, those are big ones. Let's start with AI. The paper actually calls it a potential new species, like based on silicon, not carbon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just being dramatic, or are we really talking about AI becoming like sentient?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Right. The paper talks about different definitions of intelligence, of sentience. It also goes into this idea of super alignment, which is, I guess you'd call it a hope. That we can control a super intelligent AI if it emerges by kind of shaping its initial conditions. It's like if you raise a child with the right values,
right,
they're more likely to make good choices as an adult, even if they end up way smarter than you.
Okay, so it's like trying to program ethics into a potential super intelligence right from the start.
Yeah.
Ambitious, to say the least. But, I mean, AI isn't all doom and gloom, is it? There's amazing stuff happening already.
Absolutely. The paper talks about AlphaFold, this AI that's totally changing how we understand protein folding, which is huge for medicine.
Right, like AI solving a problem that humans have been stuck on for decades. But I do have to ask, what about the downsides we hear so much about? Like, what happens when the robots take all the jobs?
See, that's where this gap idea gets really worrying. AI could make things amazingly productive, which sounds great, but that could also mean a lot of people are out of work. And not just factory jobs. We're talking about AI being built into everything, like even creative fields.
So what happens to people if their entire industry is just automated?
Yeah.
It's got to have a huge impact on, like, their mental health, right?
Exactly. The paper actually brings up this idea from Viktor Frankl, the existential vacuum, the idea that humans need a sense of purpose.
So even if we had all our basic needs met, mm-hmm. you're saying mass unemployment because of AI could lead to a whole different kind of crisis, a crisis of purpose.
That's the argument. And it's pretty unsettling. And it's not just like losing your job. Right. Imagine AI so advanced it can like manipulate emotions, write propaganda that's personalized just for you, design things to be addictive, but on a scale we can barely even grasp.
It's like that whole social dilemma thing, but like amplified by 1,000. We've already seen how algorithms can be used to, you know, spread misinformation, make people angry. What happens when they get even more sophisticated?
Yeah.
More invisible.
Yeah. And that's where this idea of super wisdom comes in. The author keeps coming back to that.
Okay. So we keep hearing about super wisdom,
mm-hmm.
but how do you actually get that? Is there like a super wisdom pill we can all take?
Would that be nice? No, but the paper's argument is it has to start with how we think, especially in the tech industry itself. The author talks about a technological service movement.
Okay, gotta be honest, that sounds a bit sci-fi to me.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, like, practically speaking?
So imagine a commitment to building tech that's actually designed to serve humanity. not the other way around. Putting long-term well-being ahead of making a quick buck or just chasing the next cool invention because we can.
Less move fast and break things. More move thoughtfully and don't break humanity. I can get behind that. But how do we actually make that happen?
So the paper talks about a few things. Transparency and accountability are big ones, like making algorithms open source so anyone can see how they work. Having independent people review new technologies for ethical issues, stronger rules about data privacy, all that.
So basically shining a light on how this stuff works, making sure there's some oversight.
Okay.
That makes sense. But transparency alone doesn't guarantee ethical behavior, does it?
Right, exactly. The paper also talks a lot about education for the people creating this tech, but also for everyone else. We need to be having real conversations about the ethics of AI, gene editing, all of it.
Otherwise, we don't even know what questions to ask, right? If we don't understand the downsides, we can't push for responsible development. It's like we're back in the Industrial Revolution, but the stakes are way, way higher.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. The paper doesn't just focus on AI and biotech. It actually lays out six major areas of emerging tech, all of them with the potential to completely reshape the world.
Six areas. Okay, besides AI and biotech, what are we talking about here?
So there's advanced manufacturing and nanotech picture self-replicating machines, 3D printed organs, materials that seem like they have magical properties.
Okay, yeah, that one sounds like sci-fi. But I get it. There are huge potential benefits there too. What else?
Energy and environmental tech is another big one. Things like fusion power, ways to capture carbon from the atmosphere, even geoengineering. And then lastly, you've got space exploration and colonization. The paper actually argues that for humanity to survive long term, we might need to become multiplanetary.
Wow. Okay, so we're talking everything from like cleaning up our planet to leaving it entirely. That's quite a range. But how do these six areas connect back to those existential risks we were talking about earlier?
See, that's the key point. The paper is saying that these six areas, they're all interconnected, both in how they could help us and in the risks they pose. Like, better AI could obviously speed up progress in biotech, energy, space exploration, but it could also make the risks in each of those areas even worse.
So it's like a giant game of technological Jenga. One wrong move and the whole thing could collapse.
Exactly. The paper's argument is, we can't afford to think about any of these technologies in a vacuum. We have to look at the big picture, understand how they all connect, and how those connections could create like a domino effect of unintended consequences.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So we've got these six areas of emerging tech, all interconnected, all with the potential to both help us and really mess things up. And we need super wisdom to figure out how to navigate all of this. It still feels kind of abstract, though. Can you give me like a concrete example of what a super wisdom approach would actually look like?
Okay, so let's take gene editing, like CRISPR. Amazing potential, right? Could cure tons of diseases, but it also brings up all these ethical questions. Designer babies, genetic inequality, even messing up future generations. A super wisdom approach would mean it's not just scientists developing this tech in a lab. It's ethicists, philosophers, policymakers, the public. Everyone needs to be involved in a conversation about the benefits and the risks.
So it's not just about what we can do, but what we should do.
Exactly. That's a much harder question. And it takes a lot more than just rushing to embrace the latest scientific breakthrough, you know?
Okay, I get that. But honestly, we're talking about some incredibly powerful stuff here. People's curiosity, the desire to make money, even national security concerns. Is it even realistic to think we could slow down or even stop the development of certain technologies, even if we decide they're dangerous?
That's the challenge, right? It's definitely not going to be easy. But the paper does mention times when humanity has come together to regulate potentially catastrophic tech, like nuclear and biological weapons.
Because the alternative, like global annihilation, was just too awful to even think about.
Exactly. And while AI, biotech, those risks might not seem as urgent, as dramatic as a nuclear war, the paper is saying they're no less real. And if we ignore them, we do it at our own peril. We're at a fork in the road, as they put it.
A fork in the road, meaning there are different paths we could take, depending on how we develop, how we use these technologies. Tell me more about that. A fork in the road. Okay. So where do these paths, where do they lead? What are the options?
Well, the paper lays out three main possibilities. The first one, kind of the business as usual path.
Yeah.
That's what happens if we just keep going the way we are, full speed ahead, not really thinking about the consequences.
And that's, I'm guessing that doesn't end well.
Right. Even if it's not like, you know, robots taking over the world the way Hollywood likes to imagine it. Just the rapid spread of AI, for example, that could lead to mass unemployment, social unrest, all kinds of chaos. Like, imagine a world where algorithms are just better at most jobs than humans are.
Right.
What happens to all the people who are left behind, especially if we haven't figured out, you know, how to distribute the benefits of all this technology fairly?
We've talked about the economic side, but you're saying there's a deeper impact too, right? Like on a psychological level?
Yeah.
Exactly. That whole existential vacuum thing. Even if we have all our material needs met, if people don't feel useful, don't feel like they have a purpose, that's a recipe for a whole different kind of crisis.
So even a world of like leisure and abundance could actually be pretty bleak if nobody feels like they have a role to play.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's one possible future, and it's not a pretty one. What's next on the list?
Right. So the second path is the one that tends to, you know, grab the headlines, the whole super intelligent AI scenario. This is where machines don't just get better at specific things. They develop a kind of general intelligence that surpasses our own. The paper makes this comparison. Imagine an alien species shows up on Earth, but they're way smarter, way more advanced than us.
Okay, yeah, that definitely raises the stakes a bit. We're not just talking about jobs anymore. We're talking about, I don't know, the whole balance of power shifting. Mm-hmm. Would we even be able to control something like that?
That's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the paper talks about super alignment, trying to, like, instill human values in this super intelligence from the very beginning. But even the author admits that's a huge unknown. We have no idea if it's even possible to control something that might be so much smarter than we are.
It's like that saying, we can't predict the future, but we can create it. And right now, yeah, it feels like we might be creating one with a lot of potential for things to go wrong. So give me some hope here. Is there a third option? Like a way to go through this technological revolution without ending up either economically devastated or, you know, slaves to our own creations?
That's where the super wisdom path comes in. And it's not about stopping progress. It's about steering it, guiding it in a way that benefits all of humanity. It's about realizing how powerful these technologies are becoming and proceeding carefully, humbly, you know, with a real sense of responsibility for the future we're building.
Okay, I like the idea of super wisdom, but
yeah,
how do we actually get there? It's not like there's a button we can push.
Well, right, it's not a quick fix. It's more like a fundamental shift in how we think. The author calls for a technological service movement. Basically, the idea is technologists themselves, they need to start prioritizing ethical considerations. So imagine a world where it's not just about technical skills, but also about ethical awareness, empathy, really thinking through the potential consequences of what we're building.
It's like we need a Hippocratic oath for tech. First, do no harm.
Exactly. We need to move past this idea of innovation at all costs and start being more thoughtful, like really considering the downsides before we unleash something new on the world. It's not going to be easy, but the paper does offer some concrete steps we can take.
Like what? Give me an example. What can people listening do right now to help move us towards this more super wise future?
Well, for one, education. We all need to be informed, right? Understand these technologies, how they work, what they can do, both the good and the bad. We need to be having open and honest conversations about the ethical questions they raise, and we need to demand better from the people in charge, from the tech industry, from our leaders. We need more transparency, more accountability.
So it's not just about understanding the tech itself, but about engaging in the ethical debate,
yeah,
making our voices heard.
Exactly. The future isn't set in stone. It's being shaped right now by the choices we make, every single one of us. And the more informed we are, the more we participate in this conversation, the better equipped we'll be to create a future where technology really does serve humanity.
This deep dive has been incredible, fascinating, and a little bit terrifying, to be honest. A lot to think about. As we wrap up here, what's the one thing you hope people listening will take away from all of this?
That's easy. Never be afraid to ask the question, just because we can do something, does that mean we should? That simple question, if we really think about it, if we ask it consistently, that's the foundation of super wisdom right there.
Wow. That's a powerful thought. Big thanks to you for taking us through all of this. It's been really thought-provoking. And to everyone listening, remember, the conversation doesn't end here. Let us know what you think. Do we need to bend the blue curve? And if so, how? Until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.